Hi, Fiona here, and welcome to another episode of our new podcast series here at the Script Department, Stepping Into Frame, Women in Screenwriting. Before we talk more about rocks, don't forget to like, share, or subscribe to the Script Department podcast, where you can find on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also pop over to the Script Department website at scriptdepartment.net to check out what our global network of screenwriters have been doing. You can even buy us a coffee over there. So today I'm joined again by Lorna. Hi, Lorna.
Hiya.
And we are going to talk about the film Rocks, the 2019 BAFTA-nominated Rocks, which is an amazing film. So let's just jump into it and tell me, Lorna, what did you think?
Oh, I mean, I am just bereft after watching it. I don't know about you, just that end. I mean, are we going to talk about the end at the beginning? But I was absolutely just heartbroken. And it was just also realistic, wasn't it? Didn't you just feel like it was a documentary?
Do you know, I mean, I was really staggered by this movie, I have to say. It really surprised me. And I'd heard of it, actually. A friend of mine is in it. And he said, he actually suggested that we do it on the podcast. And I hadn't watched it, or I kind of knew of it, but hadn't really watched it properly, I don't think. And so just watched it the other day and was just blown away by it as a piece of filmmaking and as a script and so many things. So it's obviously, I think, been quite impactful on both of us then, by the sounds of things. What did you think of the sort of style of the film? Because it felt to me like it was a documentary. It didn't feel scripted at all. What are your thoughts? Did you sort of get that?
I definitely got the sense that the actors were given the room to say what they felt they wanted to say in that situation. I'm sure there were plenty of scripted bits, but it felt like there were some unscripted bits in there that they let them play around with that.
Yeah, it begs the question, doesn't it? I really wanted to know. I know I read somewhere that they did workshops. It was kind of a workshopped piece with a lot of non-actors, which I thought was just astounding. Just incredible. And I was really interested to know, and it will make me look further into how they created the film, because it just felt, it just literally felt like a documentary. It felt like the conversations were so real and so natural and so perfectly timed and so brilliantly paced, which I loved, because it made you feel like you were stepping inside that world as one of the kids almost, you know. Did you get a bit of a sense of that?
Definitely. And as you said, I think it definitely that the consulting with kids who are in those kind of situations definitely just came through so powerfully, in both in terms of the characterizations and like the representation that there is in there, the friendships and the things that they fall out over. I mean, I love the food fight scene. I don't know whether that was a real scene or like something that someone had experienced, or whether it was like wishful thinking. But, I mean, I loved that.
it was really great, wasn't it? And I love the way, and it was kind of madness, but it was sort of madness in a way. I love the way it kept, I know it sounds weird, but it kept a semblance of control. Like the teacher lost control, but actually the kids just went for it, but they kind of knew when to stop, which I thought was kind of cool as well. It was like unbridled, I don't know what, youthful hijinks or something, I don't know, but a great scene. Tell me some of the things that you really loved about it. What were some of the high points for you?
Oh, well, I mean, there are so many moments, but I felt the particularly powerful moments were things like when Samaya's when Rox goes to Samaya's family, and the contrast between their absolutely overflowing house with people and conversations and food, and the contrast between that and Rox's experience and the argument they end up having over that was just really did feel very powerful and poignant. And but also
it was quite heartbreaking.
So heartbreaking. And but you could understand how somebody was feeling, but it was so insensitive. She had no concept at all of really what I felt, which you don't expect a kid to, really. It's like, you know, she was doing what she could for a friend, but the kind of the understanding of exactly the situation she was in was
It was really funny, wasn't it? Because I thought Sameha, the actress, was brilliant, just absolutely outstandingly amazing, just so real and so incredible. And I love the nuance of that scene between them, where Sameha invited Rox into the house, and it was so, as a parent, it was so incredibly heartbreaking. But just watching Sameha try to come to grips with what was going on, and obviously she didn't understand the complexity of it. She was trying to be a good friend. Obviously, there's no way, young kid, she's not going to be able to meet the needs of Rox. You know, it was just was never going to work. But and then you see them kind of break up, that the friendship kind of combust a bit, and that was worse because then poor old Rox is on the outside again, and especially, like, I don't know about you, but I felt it was so poignant, her carrying around that frog.
I know. Because you understood how much it meant to Emmanuel.
Exactly. And then when they let him go, and it was a beautiful little metaphor for their kind of life in a way, wasn't it? Because it so represents the stability of a typical family. A typical kid at school gets to bring home the pet on a weekend or whatever it is. You know, like, I remember we used to do that when we were kids. And, you know, it represents stability, doesn't it, in a way? And then to sort of see the frog get let go on the canal was like, oh my god, yeah, terrible.
And she accepts that she can't look after the frog before she accepts that she can't look after him anymore.
Like, yeah,
yeah. Like, okay, I can come to terms with that, but that's it, you know.
Yeah,
the frog,
absolutely. It's hilarious, and like, yeah, beautifully poignant little moment there, and it's such a lovely, I thought, from a script writing point of view, such a lovely thing to add in. It's quite an unexpected thing to put in as a sort of a sub story, if you like, but it was beautiful. It was really worked incredibly well. And so let's talk a little bit about, let's go on a little bit about what else you liked, because you really liked that particular scene. What else grabbed you about the film?
So the point at which she goes to Agnes's house, and obviously by this point she's kind of going to the more further extremes of her friendship group there, and so Emmanuel's questioning the fact that, like, what, why are we going to her house? And she's like, well, we're friends
kind of.
and poor Agnes does the right thing, she contacts social services, and then she sees the impact and why it is that Rox has been avoiding them so much, which she couldn't appreciate before. And to be honest, if I were Rox, I would absolutely have done the same things, because she knew ultimately her and Emmanuel would get split up, because they just don't have the framework and the infrastructure to support kids that siblings like that.
And I read, or was it, maybe it was in the film, or maybe I read somewhere, about the fact that they do tend to split kids up because they've both been through shared trauma, so it's not uncommon to split them up. But if I were Rox, I'd be exactly the same. You would fight like anything to keep your little brother or little sister or whoever with you. But then I thought, wasn't it beautiful the moment when they all went down to, was it Brighton? They went down to wherever he was.
Hastings.
And Hastings. And they turned up at the school and she saw him there in the playground playing. And what meant to her character that she doesn't yell out to him, that she lets him keep playing. She knows the moment to not step in. That to me was like, this woman, this girl, she is incredible. It was beautiful though, wasn't it? I mean, God, talk about a selfless moment, you know, like it was
all she wanted incredible to know is that he was okay, and that's why she'd gone to such lengths to look after him, because she wanted to make sure that he was okay. And he'd already lost her mum, and so she didn't want him to lose her too. And Oh.
It's funny, we talked about last week Moxie, the movie Moxie,
Yeah.
and which I don't know if you've seen it, Lorna,
I have
but
actually, because I wasn't on that one. I was like, so I'm
no, you
saving it
weren't
for
on that
later.
one. But oh, okay, well, yeah, you watch that podcast and then you can tell us what you think. But yeah, if anyone hasn't seen it, we have done a podcast on Moxie as well. But it was actually really interesting doing Moxie last time and then Rocks this time, because Moxie is such a different kettle of fish. They're both coming of age stories in a way, if you like. But the Moxie movie is so much about, well, it's centered around a white middle class girl, really. And her coming of age story is all about her mum, like looking back on her mum's kind of smash the patriarchy. And it was so already empowered, you know, like the girl is strong. She's in this really, you know, privileged environment. And so it's really fascinating looking at this little view into sort of middle class America and this very middle class girl going through very, you know, and you know, all stories of female empowerment are great, but it was just really fascinating to see that. And then yet here you are in this other coming of age story, which is just so different, but such a view into East London life,
Yeah,
which I
and
thought was
child
brilliant.
poverty.
And say that again, sorry, just missed that bit.
And child poverty as well, it's just it's hard. And the fact that the number of kids that are going through experiences like this are going to go up over the coming months and years. And this was pre-pandemic, so
Yes,
that's
exactly.
when we
Yeah.
didn't know we had things good.
Yeah, exactly. And even then, you know, 10 years of austerity, it's all relative anyway, isn't it? Good.
Well,
But you know, let's not start down that path. But it's true, isn't it? It really does. And I think again, that's why it's really important is to, because it also didn't portray that life of Rox and all those kids. It didn't display them as, they weren't victims. They were like not, it wasn't presented as something to be, oh, those poor, to be sort of looked down on or sort of patronized or, oh, isn't it dreadful? It was just really like illuminating, real, yeah, but really heartwarming as well. You know, it was kind of the way that Rox managed to find a way through, although, you know, not what you would want, not what anybody would want, but she got there, you know, she survived, if you like. But my God, a coming of age that nobody would want, right? You know, nobody would want that kind of a coming of age story, would they, in terms of what they have to go through? But yeah, just a very fascinating comparison, I guess, between two films that have come out at sort of a similar time, but very with very different very different angles and very different scripts, really, you know, very, very different perspectives. But I love it. I love that they're here, and I love that we're getting these kind of films being made, and we're able to see these stories, which we haven't before, which is fantastic. Tell me, what else do you moved you about the film, or was there anything you didn't love about it?
I wasn't so keen on the teachers. I mean, there was the one teacher that went and checked in on her, wasn't there? And she was too late. Rox had already left home. But the fact that they were so interested, and I know teachers aren't social workers, for all you teachers out there, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to judge. But if they just the obsession with the sunglasses and the shoes and all that kind of thing. There's a parent of children who are in high school where it's just like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating, isn't it? And actually that's really interesting because again, back in the Moxie film, so there's a similarity there. They were having a go at one of the girls in the class because of her shirt, or was it a shirt? And how basically she was a bigger girl. And so the teacher was saying, you know, you have to cover up. And she's saying, well, why is it that it's always about what the girls wear and the length of the girl's skirt and the, you know, it's always that sort of lens. But you're right. It's interesting that it's always those, the lens of the things that don't really matter, you know, that the sunglasses or whatever. It's like, you know, it's kind of irrelevant really, isn't it? But it still gets pulled out as being those kind of things that the teachers sort of pick on, if you like. Yeah. which is quite funny. But and what about, would you have done anything different in the film? Would you have made any changes, particularly from a writing point of view or a structure point of view?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I like to write happy endings. So, I mean, it wouldn't be very realistic, I'm aware of that, but just the heartbreaking ending, if I get to write it, I'd like to give Rox a happy ending.
Yeah.
And Emmanuel. Obviously, Emmanuel gets a sort of happy ending because, you know, she sees that he's happy.
Yeah.
And things, but...
Yeah, I would be the same. I mean, you do, and it's terrible though, isn't it? Because it's like, you know what, like you gotta write reality in a way, don't you? And you know, sometimes we need to see those. But yeah, you just want everything to be all right in the end. But tell me, because you made an interesting comparison or mentioned a couple of films that you thought it kind of reminded you of. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
So there's one that's called Wasps, that's a short film, and it's got Danny Dyer in it, and that again is heart-wrenching, and it's a mother from a mother's point of view. She's got three or four children, and the film starts off her dragging her kids across the like town even to go and have an argument with another mum who's slagged her off in front of her daughter or something, and they end up having this huge argument in the middle of like the community, and like people are like walking past going like, what's going on? So it's got that kind of humor in there, but it's also just how bleak their situation is, that this kind of thing is just, it's it was criticizing her for being a bad mother, and so it's just absolutely like fired her up, and she was off there. Like, in fact, I think she was even in her like 90 going off this argument, and so it just shows her very bleak existence in terms of like she's feeding the kids sugar from a bag because that's all she's got in the cupboard to feed them, and so then she goes to see a man at a pub in the hope that he will be the answer to all their problems. But she doesn't have anybody to look after the kids. The kids are hanging outside, just kind of dossing about, and it's still very hungry. It's just all these kind of little things where it's just, when you're so desperate, just everything, the stakes are so high, even on just like a date going well. And in the end, the guy finds out the fact that the kids are there, and that she's so, and it's because she's got no money to feed them. So he is their knight in shining armor, and he takes them out for chips. And it's just, so they do get a happy ending. They don't kind of allude to the fact that the relationship might be dodgy or anything. It's just like, here we go. She gets her knight in shining armor, and then they go off in his car and eat chips. And it's
all okay. I watched, after you'd mentioned that, I actually watched it today, and I found it to be, I actually found it to be bleaker than Rox, I have to say. So I kind of, and was like, oh my gosh, it's a brilliant comparison in a way, because it does deal equally with, you know, families in poverty, living on council estates with very little opportunity, and, you know, it has that Ken Loach feel about it. But gosh, I found it really grim. Just, I know it's funny because, interestingly, with Rox, I felt a bit more upbeat about it, because even though she ends up in another foster home on her own, and she hasn't got a brother with her, she kind of starts the path to go back to her life in a way. And I thought, okay, this is probably better for her ultimately. Well, it is better for her because she's not on the streets, but I think there's a hope for her, even though it was sort of a bit sad that she's not with her brother and, you know, her mum's disappeared and what have you. But I felt like with Wasp that I thought, gosh, it's almost like, and I didn't realize it was Danny Dyer. My gosh, he was like, I was like, he looks so young. It's like a long time ago. Sorry, Danny Dyer, but man, that was, yeah, because I didn't recognize him at first. I was like, oh gosh, Danny Dyer, right? Okay. Anyway, so But I felt with that one, even though, yeah, the kids were kind of singing at the end and they got their chips and whatever, which was great, didn't you feel like, oh gosh, here we go again? Like it's going to be kid number five. And
yeah, you know? I mean, absolutely. Although it has a happy ending, the thing is that the mum in it, she has no agency of her own, actually. All she can do is desperately cling on to somebody else to be the answer, which is just heartbreaking. Whereas at least Rox did have her own agency. She was going out there and she was finding solutions to her problem in all sorts of different ways, which obviously some were better ideas than others. But she did have control over her own life. And, you know, when social services obviously got involved and that wasn't what she wanted, she did go and see her brother and she had agency in the fact that it's like, okay, he is all right, so I will choose to let him stay and not get involved. So, so I think the kind of involvement of the kids in and the way that they were consulted about the story, I'm sure had a lot to do with the fact that that all of the kids in it had their own agency, and that makes a big difference.
Yeah, definitely. And I think if you put the two main characters side by side, Rox was, absolutely, just, you know, troubled and lost, but gosh, she kind of dug herself out of that hole, which was amazing. Talk to me a little bit about the character of, what did you think about the character of Roche? Was it Roche?
The kind of she's bad, the one that got the money stolen off her. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I mean, yeah, because obviously that's interesting. She got moved on from a different school, and so the suggestion is that she got kicked out of a different school for being a bit of trouble. And I like the fact that Rox stood up for her, and that's what caused the food fight, isn't it? Is that she then got in there so she got involved in the food fight once that, like, somebody said something that was a bit off, didn't they? And then it all kicked off, and that's what caused the kind of bond between the two of them. And that was a potential solution for her in terms of being able to work in the salon and earn some money. And so she's constantly just thinking about ways in which she can find a way out of it. And so she's thinking, well, I can earn myself some money. She, you know, the sweets and the kind of £2 for doing someone's eyebrows wasn't enough. But working in a salon, that was a potential answer.
Definitely. I did love how enterprising all the girls were, actually. Yeah. Or they had their little stall and they were selling little bracelets and sweets and whatever. It was like, gosh, I wish I'd have had that sense of self at that age and sell things, you know. And the eyebrows and stuff was great. But I thought she was a really interesting character, because I kind of felt for a second, I don't know whether you did, there was a moment in the film where when they became good friends, I thought, okay, this is going to end in disaster. This is just, she's just going to go down right down the wrong path here, and this is going to be, and so I thought from a structure point of view, that was really clever, because it kept me thinking right up until the time that they, you know, basically that she was on the bus and Roche and the guys were yelling at her that they were going to beat her up or whatever it was. There's that thought about, oh gosh, she's going to end up with that gang and, you know, those boys, and it's like, oh, this is going to be just terrible. But it was great that she managed to step around it. And I think it probably was the desperation, right? The desperation. So she took the money, and that led her, hope actually saved her.
Yeah, absolutely. She, and the thing is, you can see the hesitation in her, because she put it back and then she took it. And, you know, she didn't want to do it and she knew it was going to cause problems. But also, the main problem she had was that she didn't have anywhere to stay with Emmanuel, and then this would give them somewhere to stay. Not that that went out very well in the end either, but.
No, that's right. Yeah. Yeah, it was, and even the bit where they stayed in the hotel and she got kicked out of the hotel and stuff. That was quite harrowing, because I kind of felt a bit like that was the only bit that I felt it was maybe a little bit out of character for her. She really got, but I guess it was desperation, right?
Yeah. Especially because it was £40, which would mean so much to them that they were not giving back to her. that was just, and also the fact that she'd stolen that, she'd gone so far as to steal that, and she couldn't even give it back. And so that was, you know, she was just.
Yeah, she'd gone to all that effort and all that risk, if you like, and it didn't pay off. Yeah. What about the grandmother character? Do you remember her?
So it was really only one station, but obviously where was it that she was calling from? But anyway, she was from the Caribbean or something, wasn't it? So she was a long way away and but I don't think she knew that her daughter had disappeared, or at least that was the impression I had. Do you think that she did know? Because she was saying things like, you know, some people don't know how to be a mother.
I think she made a comment about the fact that she'd done it before, and that she'd wandered off before. And I know Rox had made that comment that she's done it before, but she came back. But yeah, she definitely, it was really interesting because she wasn't she was sort of understanding of the frailties of her daughter, but she didn't actually, there was nothing she could do to help, really. You know, she's kind of, and I guess also Rox wasn't honest with her either, was she? I don't think she actually told her that she'd gone again anyway. So yeah.
Yeah, she didn't. Well, she defended her mum, didn't she? She completely defended her mum. And obviously before she went, she was clearly planning on going with that lovely breakfast that she gave them. So she kind of wanted to be everything that her kids needed her to be, but she just felt that she couldn't be. And obviously she'd lost a job. So, yeah, she felt like they were better off without her. But there are ways to go about that, aren't there? But obviously there was for the mental health issues that she had. So she just kind of couldn't do it anymore, could she? Bless her.
No, that's right. Do you feel this was this an uplifting film?
It was a heartbreaking film. I don't think I could call it uplifting. I know the ending was about the best ending you could possibly hope for, in the fact that they both settled somewhere where people were looking after them. And although they were split up, they were both fairly happy there. Obviously, she got to still stay with her friends who were, you know, it bonded her and her friends in a way that they hadn't been bonded before. So there were lots of positives at the end. The suggestion was that they would be better off where they were. But just everything that they had to go through, I don't think I could go away from it going, oh, wasn't that lovely?
I feel great. No, definitely. I definitely agree. I think it was life affirming in a way, if that's, you know, a slight difference in that I felt there were lots of good things about her relationships with her friends. I thought her friends were ultimately, there's a real kind of bond there. I just loved those scenes with those interactions of those girls, everything from their little shop to their dancing to their just their chats, their conversations. It was just so good. And I as I said, I can't credit enough how well that was written or workshopped or scripted or however it was put together, because it was just brilliant. I didn't come out at the end feeling really bad. I felt sad, but I felt like, okay, yeah, I felt life affirmed, I think.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and inspired by Rox. I mean, she was brilliant. She did so much for her brother.
She did. She was amazing. Gosh, who wouldn't want a brother or sister like that? Yeah, but it was just brilliant. And I thought as a piece of modern British filmmaking, cannot rate it highly enough. It's hard to talk about it, because there's not much bad to say. Well, there's nothing bad to say.
Very few criticisms that I could give it. Absolutely. It's powerful and beautiful and very real and thought-provoking, and it's heartbreaking to think that there are so many kids that will find themselves in similar situations.
So it was written by Therese Okoko, who apparently is a theatre writer, and also Claire Wilson, who I think is a TV writer. So I thought that was a really interesting combo. I'm not entirely sure about how that came together, but I like the fact that I think that's probably or maybe why the style is as it is, that sort of that really fascinating, and maybe that's because I know a lot of theatre is, and these days a lot of sort of immersive and community-based and workshop-based theatre, it kind of seems to take some of those techniques and put them in the film sphere. So but I think I'm just having a look. She's working on Dance School at the moment, which is great. So she is that's being shot in Leeds at the moment, I think. She also did Grime Kids, Grime Kids. It's announced. And was a producer, is a producer on Dance School and Grime Kids. Okay, so relatively new in that sense, but that is fab. I think she's working on Dance School with Lisa Holdsworth, screenwriter. So that's interesting. And also Claire Wilson, who wrote on it too, she did the Power TV series and Gangs of London. She's co-executive producer, The Rocks, and then other things, Partners in Crime, Little Drummer Girl. So really interesting combination of writers on that.
Collaboration, bringing it together, is so very clever, isn't it? And one of the things that they won a BAFTA for and a BIFFA for was the casting, because they did such a fabulous job in bringing those kids together. Sumaya, the actor who played Sumaya, she won various awards for her portrayal as well. And I think that's, it's very clear that she was particularly good, wasn't she?
They were all fantastic. I couldn't fault any of the actors at all. They're all amazing. Emmanuel, so cute.
He did feel like absolutely 100% that he was going through this. It's, you know,
definitely when he's asking, it was amazing,
just repeatedly asking about dinosaurs, whether or not they were real. I was just like, oh, bless me. At that point, that was his major concern, was whether or not dinosaurs were real.
Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it? And as a parent, it's really hard to cope with that kind of thing, isn't it? When you kind of see the disassociation in a way of the kid between his reality. Yeah. It's really, really, really heartbreaking. So what do you think makes this film so good then? What are the, like, if you were to think, like, from a screenwriting point of view, I'm gonna throw you in the deep end and ask you, what do you think were some of the things that have made it so successful? Because obviously we just rave about it, we have nothing bad to say. We just go and see it if you haven't seen it. But what do you think are the things that make it so good?
Well, I think clearly listening to the kids that they got feedback from and collaborated with on the characters and the friendships and the situations they got themselves into, they all felt like very real, like arguments and things that kids would fight over. And like that scene that I was talking about where Emmanuel just kept on asking about dinosaurs, it's like you can feel that those kind of moments were just so powerful in terms of the contrast between the real concern and obviously Emmanuel, like she was just there protecting him. And I know they fell out over things, and all she was doing was trying to keep him away from social services, and he just is kicking off and making a scene, and she's just like,
she can't explain. It's like, please just follow me. Definitely. I think that's a really key point about the dialogue, if you like, and it just felt to me like, I don't know whether some, you know, how close the writers, workshoppers had been to that world, but it just felt like they knew it so deeply, it, or they listened, I mean, to your point, you know, they listened really carefully to, you know, as they built that script. It just, it felt like it was a script that was written by someone who was paying a lot of attention and not trying to construct a world, which we tend to do as screenwriters. Yeah. We tend to construct the worlds that we want, the happy endings that we like so much, Lorna, both of us. but rather than constructing, it's almost like they were just conveying or realizing rather than constructing. And it was sort of tangible to me. I don't think I've seen a film, certainly in recent times, that's come so close to making me feel like I wasn't watching a film.
Yeah, that's very true. And that must be so of the director as well, I think, the, you know, drawing a lot of the kids and just like the food fight scene, they just will have just said, just go for it.
Yeah, it would have been great to be on set, wouldn't it, for those sorts of things. They were terrific. And even like just the schoolyard scenes where they were dancing. I love the dancing scenes. That was so cool. That was really, really terrific.
Yeah.
I think too, one of the things that I think makes it really successful is, so obviously the story, you know, the storytelling is brilliant. So storytelling is fantastic. It comes through in the dialogue, which is just incredibly authentic. I thought the characterizations were brilliant. I could never have come up with the characters that were in that piece. It was just, it was quite staggering. So there was that as well. I thought the characterization was great. The casting, I agree, was brilliant. It was terrific to see something where diversity and inclusion were at the heart of it, not a box tick. And I think, again, just going back to Moxie, which we talked about, and we all kind of liked it. We thought there were lots of great things about it. But the diversity bit felt a little bit tokenistic. You know, you had the kind of one character in the wheelchair who sort of had a bit of a part, but not massive part. And it all felt a little bit, well, at least for me, a little bit bolt on, not lots. It felt very safe. I was saying it felt like Hollywood was doing diversity, was very, very careful, and was doing what it needed to do, but it was doing what it needed to do, where this felt like it was just part of it, which was great, which it was, because of the world it was conveying, which was fantastic. So yeah, lots of great things. Any other great things that we haven't talked about?
Well, let's see, I've got my list here. So in the moment where they all pull their money, so they've had this big fallout, all of them. Rox has got upset with Agnes, obviously, for calling social services, and then she comes and she's been settled with a family and she's been able to go back to school. And that first like moment where she comes back, and she's obviously had all these fallings out with everyone, and they still invite to come and sit down, and they talk about the situation, and then they start to pull their money and get a plan, and it's just this, the kind of tentative like coming back together, and then like, okay, this is your problem, it's our problem, what are we going to do? And then they start to get so excited about their plan to like buy one train ticket between all of them.
It was great, wasn't it? And then it turned into this like girl's own adventure where they, you know, there's enough for one of them to click through the gate. The rest have to go, you know, go two at a time, whatever it is. And yeah, it was lovely. And I think that was a very nuanced moment, wasn't it? When they reconciled, because it was not at all, there wasn't this, oh, okay, what happened? Or it was very gentle. You're right. It was just so softly back into it, which was perfect. And exactly what Rox needed. And the perfect antidote for her friends, wasn't it? It was lovely, that moment. I really, really loved it. And the whole trip was great. The trip on the train was hilarious. But anything else? We've talked about a lot. We've talked a lot of good things.
Yeah, I think we've covered all of my bullet points that I've got here.
So the next one we're going to talk about is Everything I Know About Love, and then we're going to be on a Sofia Coppola, Coppola. How do you say it? Sofia Coppola.
I
Yeah.
think I would say Coppola.
Coppola. Okay, Coppola, that sounds good. I think that's how I've always said it. I don't know why I just said Coppola. Sorry about that. Momentary lapse of reason there. So we will be doing a Sofia Coppola retrospective, having a look back through her films. I think one of the things we're keen to do is have a look at great screenwriting women and all of the great films they've done. So that should be lots of fun. But I'm looking forward to next week because I haven't seen it either. So I'll be but there's been a lot of great reviews, so there'll be plenty to talk about and hopefully some disagreement. Who knows? We will see. So, I guess in finishing up, we would like to say definitely if you haven't seen Rocks, see it. It's such a great film. Definitely worth a watch or two. Would you watch it again, Lorna?
Yeah, I would. Yeah, definitely. I'd have to have plenty of chocolate and just like have a pillow to cuddle up against to just make myself feel better about. But because the fact that it does make you think about all the kids out there who are having similar experiences and having to deal with these kind of experiences in terms of their friends having these issues to deal with, and they've got no framework, they have no idea. I mean, we would have no idea in that situation, mainly, as
No
adults.
idea. No clue. Absolutely no clue. You're absolutely right. Yeah. And it does, it's really important to have a look at these stories and, immerse yourself in this world and this country that we live in and all of the, for all its good and bad. And, it's really important. And that's, I guess, why screenwriting is really important and why filmmaking is really important to bring these stories to us. I'd definitely watch it again. I don't know if I'd watch Wasp again. I've got to say,
Yeah,
it might be a
no,
bit
yeah.
hard, but it was equally good, I think, in a in a different way. Yeah, anyway, if you haven't seen it, see it. And we will be back next week to talk about more films written by women, great films written by women. And in the meantime, if you haven't already subscribed to our podcast or our social media, please do. Like us, share us,
Going
subscribe,
to do
all of those things. Did you, yeah, all of those things. I don't know where it's
that.
going to end up, down, up, sideways, somewhere. That would be great. We really appreciate it. We are, it's screenwriters talking about movies for screenwriters. Just here to help everybody who likes film, likes to write and share our thoughts and our opinions. So thank you, Lorna. Lovely to see you as always.
Lovely to chat.
And we shall chat next week. We'll be back. Thanks. Bye, everyone. Bye.